Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
Good afternoon. Patty Rising is off today. I'm Brett Burkhart. Here's what's happening. It is a dry January. No longer is parts of the region are already feeling the effects of an atmospheric river that will stick around through the weekend. From rain around the bay to snow in the Sierra, KCBS's Shannon Golden joins us live now with the latest on this first bout of moisture. Shannon?
Yes, let's start with that snow, Brett. To find out more about road conditions up in the Sierra, we go live now with John O'Connell with Caltrans District 3. He joins us on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline. So, John, give us a little bit of a picture of what it's looking like as this snow begins to fall up there.
Yeah, right now we have chain controls up on a variety of our Sierra highways, most notably Interstate 80 right now. Eastbound, we have chain controls up from Kingdale to Truckee, and then westbound from Donner Lake Interchange up to Rainbow. So right now it's snowing pretty good up over Donner Summit. And then, yes, we have chain controls up on all the other secondary highways around Lake Tahoe, and including Highway 50 on the south shore from Twin Bridges over to Myers. Over Echo Summit, we have chains up on 50 as well.
And as the weekend progresses, we know that there will be rain and snow, kind of a combination of the two falling up there. What are your recommendations for drivers? We know a lot of folks will be headed up there to try and get the good snow conditions. What do you recommend for folks who are hitting the road?
We'll be patient for one thing, because it is Friday, so a lot of people are going to be heading out to go up to the mountains to try and go skiing this weekend. So expect heavy traffic, you know, through Sacramento and going up into the mountains. So please be patient and be prepared. Carry chains with you. Even if you have four-wheel drive, we encourage people to carry chains. We try and keep the roads open, but if there's, a spin out, then we may have to hold traffic for a bit. And in that case, you want to have emergency supplies with you. So carry blankets, make sure your phone's charged, make sure you have snacks, bottled water, things like that. Make sure you have a full tank of gas too before heading up there. Because you just don't know how long it's going to take to get up to Tahoe this weekend.
Very good point. And let me ask you this. When it comes to a forecast, because we're looking at rain and snow every day for the next 6 days, how do you prepare as Caltrans when it comes to snow plows, salt to try and de-ice some of the roadways? Do you prepare in advance for something like this, or is this just regularly staffed?
Well, we're regularly staffed throughout the wintertime. We have full-time employees. We also, hire out seasonal employees. And if things get really crazy, we can bring up maintenance crews from the valley as well. Staffing, we're completely fully staffed. And then you spoke to, salt. We do, put down a brine solution on some of the highways to prevent the roads from icing over before the storm hits. So that helps as well. And then, throughout these last few weeks of dry weather, it gives our maintenance crews time to basically, check out, to keep our culverts and drains cleared out of any debris and to fix guardrails and fences and things like that so that the roads are prepared for snowy and then, rainy conditions in the valley. So, we're fully staffed and fully prepared for the winter weather ahead.
Thanks so much for that insight, John. That's John O'Connell with Caltrans District 3. Now, as for the rain down here in the Bay Area, we haven't had much for a while, as we know, so a lot of the soils will be able to absorb a good amount of the moisture. But the fact that it's going over several days will provide some endurance issues. So there is a flood watch for the Bay Area that will be in effect from tonight through Sunday night. And as KCBS's Matt Bigler says, some homeowners are heeding the warnings and picking up sandbags to protect their properties.
Anyone who's ever lifted a sandbag before knows they're heavy. That's why San Francisco residents Linda and Richard Colvin were thankful that city crews helped them load 10 bags into their Prius.
I think it's fantastic that the city of San Francisco is making it what I consider so easy to get sandbags. Mm. And they're free.
Sandbags are available at most cities and counties in the Bay Area, although not all help with the loading. The sandbags are really meant to be used in areas that are prone to flooding.
So if your property hasn't flooded before, there's a good chance it's not going to flood this time. But if you think you need sandbags, you can come and get them.
SF Public Works spokesperson Rachel Gordon says so far they have plenty of sandbags on hand at the maintenance yard. It was 2 years ago the city ran out of sandbags during an unusually powerful atmospheric river. In San Francisco, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
Thank you, Matt. And we'll have much more for you throughout the afternoon as the snow continues to fall, as that rain continues to percolate throughout the Bay Area. Reporting live from the Storm Desk, Shannon Golden, KCBS.
Friends, fans, and former teammates of A's great Ricky Henderson tomorrow will fill Oakland Arena for his celebration of life. KCBS's Mike DeWald reports from Oakland. All tickets have been claimed for the free community memorial.
It will be a day to remember the man of steel, just steps from Ricky Henderson Field, where the legendary outfielder thrilled fans for 14 seasons at the Coliseum. The Oakland Arena floor reserved for friends and family for the 1 o'clock ceremony. The rest of the lower and upper bowls open to fans. Brian Johansson is with baseball's Last Dive Bar.
It's going to be an emotional crowd. It's going to be a lively crowd. I think there's going to be probably a bunch of video tributes of Ricky, and you're going to see anybody and everybody that's Ricky's had an effect on.
Even in retirement, Henderson was always out and about in the community and around the Coliseum. Longtime A's broadcaster Ken Korak.
One of the things about Ricky was that he never forgot where he came from, and I think that was one of the great things about him and why everybody has loved him so much for all these years.
Korak says Henderson considered himself an entertainer on the field. He looks forward to hearing from the Bash Brothers era teammates.
There was quite a show when you went to watch those teams play, for sure, but yeah, Ricky did. He played with a flair, and I think he really enjoyed it.
The A's say no tickets will be available at the door. Some are being sold on the secondary market. In Oakland, Mike DeWald, KCBS.
It will certainly be a special day in the Bay Area and beyond. Democrats in Sacramento were poised this week to approve $50 million to, quote, Trump-proof the state of California, but it never came up for a vote. KCBS's Steve Scott takes a look at why it didn't happen.
Lawmakers were expected to push through that funding to protect things that are important to California. KCBS political analyst and San Jose State political science professor emeritus Larry Gersten.
The idea is to try to minimize any damage the Trump administration might do with respect to its attitude towards major policies in California. So we're thinking about things like abortion, climate change, water policy, of course, immigration.
But when Democrats showed up for work, they huddled privately for about 45 minutes and then decided not to vote on the funding plan. Larry Gersten says there are several possible reasons why.
One is the bill isn't tough enough. Another one is that we have to decide exactly which issues we want to take the president on and which we don't. Another one is maybe we should just reconsider altogether, because after all, he controls the power of his big purse much more than we do ours.
And another possibility, Governor Newsom reportedly wants to add an amendment clarifying that money could not be used for illegal immigrants with criminal records. And Democrats just weren't ready to jump into that fight just yet. Steve Scott, KCBS.
A new report says advanced artificial intelligence systems have the potential to create extreme new risks, such as fueling widespread job losses, enabling terrorism, or simply running uncontrolled and unchecked. The International Scientific Report on the Safety of Advanced AI, released this week and authored by a group of independent experts, catalogs the range of dangers posed by the technology. It is being released ahead of a major AI summit in Paris next month. The paper is backed by 30 countries, including the U.S. and China, even as the two countries battle over AI supremacy. The study's lead author says the report is intended to help guide officials who are working on drawing up guardrails for the rapidly advancing technology. South Bay leaders are offering a hand up and not a handout. They are bringing the homeless together under one roof to provide services. KCBS's Jennifer Hodges reports from San Jose City Hall on the unhoused health fair.
Free backpacks, health checks, a warm meal, just a few of the things being offered up here at the San Jose City Hall Rotunda.
Once I get settled in, I want to come out and do stuff for the community too.
David, who's homeless, says he can't imagine not having this kind of help.
They help you with free glasses and stuff like that. They'll give you a voucher and places to go eat and all that stuff.
One of the most foundational parts of people being able to get off the street once they're experiencing homelessness is just connection to the services that are available.
Omar Parsons is the deputy city manager for the city of San Jose.
There is an ongoing effort in addition to efforts like this one.
The DMV on site for IDs, the health department with blood pressure checks, and connection to food services, some of the things being offered up.
We stay at Salvation Army, and they help you try to find a house, an apartment.
At the City Hall Rotunda in San Jose, Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
Fewer than 10,000 insects at overwintering sites in California, Arizona, and Baja. That's about 95% less than in the 80s. KCBS's Raquel Maria Dillon spoke with a conservation biologist about what that means.
Isis Howard grew up in rural Sonoma County.
I grew up on a little 5-acre farm, and I was always a bug nerd.
She became a conservation biologist with the Xerces Society.
Nowadays, when I visit my parents' property, we're lucky if we see 1 to 3 monarch butterflies fly through over summer.
This year's monarch census is the second lowest in the history of the count, which started in 1997.
Like, are we witnessing the decimation of a migration?
Last time the numbers went way low in 2020, they bounced back the next year.
Can our conservation efforts make a difference?
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has proposed listing the butterfly as a federally endangered species.
And that's the big question. Like, do we still have time? And I think we do have time, but I don't think we have a ton of time.
Time enough to address what's threatening the Western monarch: pesticides, loss of habitat, and climate change. I'm Raquel Maria Dillon, KCBS.
With memories of the devastating storms 2 years ago, Bay Area residents are not taking any chances preparing for the coming atmospheric river. As KCBS's Matt Bigler reports, many people are rolling up their sleeves and filling sandbags.
Or in the case of San Francisco, the sandbags are pre-filled and city crews even help with the loading. Richard Colvin decided it was time to replace the sandbags that have been diverting water at his home.
It comes down from my gutter, and I try to prevent that from getting into my garage, but they've lasted for about a couple of years, and now I need to replace them.
San Francisco residents and businesses can pick up to 10 sandbags. They're also available at most Bay Area cities and counties. Meanwhile, SF Public Works spokesperson Rachel Gordon says tree crews are on standby this weekend.
Luckily, we're not hearing that it's going to be high winds right now, but when it's very wet weather and high winds, that's when we see a lot of trees or branches come down. But we are on call waiting to respond if that need is there.
In San Francisco, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
Governor Newsom, in the meantime, has issued an executive order today making it easier for the state to capture and store water from storms. In the order, the Department of Water Resources is directed to maximize the diversion of excess water into storage sites such as the San Luis Reservoir in Merced County. Several state agencies, including the California Environmental Protection Agency, are directed to identify and minimize any obstacles that might impede these goals. The governor reportedly took this action after receiving a briefing on the storm. After a few weeks of dry weather, the latest round of storms are moving to soak the Bay Area. KCBS's Mike DeWald reports live from Petaluma. A flood watch is in effect for much of the region all the way through Sunday. Mike?
Well, that's right, Brett. The umbrellas are up. The raincoats are on. This light, steady rain, think of it more as the appetizer before tomorrow's main course. And here in Sonoma County, the focus is on those trouble spots around creeks and streams, as well as keeping the roadways clear. Cindy Foreman is division chief with the Sonoma County Fire District.
Some of the areas that you could be driving through could see trees down, even some sloughing or roadside mudslides.
Of course, many people getting in those last-minute preparations. Joe Tomasini owns Rex Ace Hardware in Petaluma. He says the store gets busy when the storms hit. They've stocked up on batteries, flashlights, and by far the most popular item, tarps.
It amazes me that every tarp, I don't care how many I get, will sell once the rainstorm comes. Where do they all go?
Now, Tomasini says items like gutter extenders can help keep a house dry.
It's water diversion. You know, they usually tend not to think about that until their house is flooded underneath or it's all behind you. And getting the water away from your house is huge.
And by the end of the weekend, most of the Bay Area should see upwards of about 3 inches of rain. Of course, the next storm rolls in late Monday. Reporting live in Petaluma, Mike DeWald, KCBS.
Thank you, Mike. Residents of Monterey County who were impacted by a recent fire will be getting some gift cards for their trouble. Earlier this month, the Moss Landing power plant caught fire. While nobody was injured, the fire did lead to evacuation orders for 1,200 nearby residents. A company that operates the facility, Vistra Energy, has teamed up with the Community Foundation of Monterey County to set up a fund which will pay for the gift cards. Anyone 18 or older who lives in the evacuation zone is eligible to apply for a gift card, which will have a value of $750, though only one card will be handed out per address. To apply, you can check out the Moss Landing Fire Relief website. If you are looking to do a remodel of your home anytime soon, you might want to take some precautions into consideration in case of wildfire. KCBS's Jennifer Hodges reports.
This Los Gatos resident telling KCBS it has crossed her mind.
And people should be concerned about it because insurance rates are going to affect them.
Whether it's metal roofs or low concrete walls as opposed to wood, there are some considerations you should take.
You know, if you happen to be looking into home improvements right now, you need to put a new roof on your house or you're putting new siding on, something like that. Look at going beyond what the fire code requires.
Erica Reyes with Santa Clara County Fire.
You don't need to wait to be told you need to do this to do the research and find out if it's something that's worth the investment for you now.
Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying play KCBS Radio.